fire from above. I've been down to that river, oh, and I ain't the same, a prodigal return.
Jesus. Oh, yeah. I've been washed by the blood. I sure hope that you who are here tonight has also been washed by the blood, because, again, as always, I try to find a song fitting to the message. And everybody give me an amen to make sure the mic check, because I see the little green dot finally working again on Discord. So that's telling me it is working. But again, I'm glad that I was able to use that song, because I was trying to find a song fitting to the message that I'm about to preach. And I was talking with Lisa a little bit today, you know, and to the listeners who listens to this later on, yes, folks, you know, even though you are here live and you do see the video, I was trying to mess with a video recorder today to try to record this, to repost it on Facebook so viewers can watch it instead of listening to an audio, because I had some people have talked to me and they said, well, Jim, I don't do too well just sitting there listening to an audio. I seem to interact more when I see video. So, you know, that's why I've got to figure out a way to record this thing, or I'll do. But, you know, we may be switching our time slots, which is going to be unfortunate for you evening people, because we got some folks on the other side of the world who wants to join this, but it's way too late for them. So far, the poll votes are leaning towards 11 a.m. in the morning. So, again, I don't know yet, but the message I'm about to preach tonight, and I will say this much, you know, there are some people who may not like to hear this kind of a message. There's some people who may find this is a hard message, be a hard message to accept. Some may not agree with it. But I'm sorry, but as I've been saying in our Bible studies, and there's a few of you who are here that attends the Bible studies, you know what I've been speaking. It's been truth. It's all been strictly by the Word of God. The message I'm preaching tonight, no difference. It's all strictly by the Word of God. But it's a hard message for many evangelical Christians out there today to accept. But it's also a hard message for non-believers to accept. And I think you will understand this why. But those online listeners, when you listen to this message, if you get your feathers ruffled, then I'm sorry, but I make no apologies for apologetics. I am a preacher. I've been called. Yes, I don't pastor a church, but I'm called to preach the word, and I preach it with authority, and I preach the truth. I'm not afraid to preach it. But, you know, again, this message was been on my mind for quite some time. It's been a long work in progress because you may relate also, but there's been some recent events that I have seen within my family, within my friends that I know, and things that I've been watching with other people for a very long time. And it's about time for me to preach it. And I've been working on it for quite a while because, again, it needs to be spoken. So, folks, many people today, I want you to understand this. Many people today have criticized Christianity and believers in Jesus Christ as being too narrow-minded because we preach. And I mean, if we're preaching the truth, according to God's words, and I mentioned that last night, many people criticize Christianity and believers in Jesus Christ, saying that we are too narrow-minded because we preach that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. When we preach that, they call us hypocrites, they call us narrow-minded, they call us dogmatic, you know, they call us many things, and they say, you know what, you got that wrong because there are other ways. Well, again, I'm sorry, but that's not what the Word of God says. That's what they say. That's not what the Word of God says. That's not what Jesus says. You see, they point, and these are the criticism people or criticizing people or people, you know, want to argue against us. You know, I'm talking about there are other ways to heaven. But they point to the numerous other religions in the world and say, well, how can yours be the only way? When Allah says this. And I'm pretty sure you may have heard this. I'm pretty sure you have ran across this or read this. But folks, those other religions are nothing but false religion. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Now, like I said just a few minutes ago, this message may not be well taken with some who will listen to it, and there may be some who gets upset when hearing what I am about to say. And there will be some who's going to listen to this, and they're going to probably click, I don't want to hear no more of that. Or they're going to get angry at it, or they're going to get mad at it. And that's what our Bible studies have been at. We've been in a section now, why the world hates us, why the world hates believers, why the world hates Jesus, why they're hating God. So this is a section in our Bible studies right now that we're talking about, the hatred of the world. But again, many is going to get angry and upset when they try to listen to this message, and they may get partial way through it, and they're going to say, you know what, I had enough of it. I don't want to hear that because Jim is not right. And that's fine. But this message has to be spoken because it's going to be the truth. I'm sure that you, me, and the rest of us who's listening to this, or you who's here tonight, I'm sure many of us has heard times and times and times over in our lives, or that we know someone who has passed away and not knowing Jesus Christ, we end up hearing the person of the family members or the family or the friends saying something like this, well, he is now resting in peace. Or he is now looking down at us. He is looking over my shoulders. Or the favorite one I've been hearing a lot of those who do not know Jesus Christ. Oh, my daddy, mommy now has earned their wings. And my heart aches when I see those kind of comments. Because I know the truth. And again, I hate to upset you. I hate to upset the listeners. But I want to tell you something right now. This is not so. I'm sorry. This is not so. Not according to the Word of God. And we will get into this. And I will show you and explain to you the reason for this. And too often, there is a common perception that so as long as one leads a generally good life, they will get into heaven. That is the common misconception out there that, hey, if I'm a good person, if I live a good life, if I do all the right deeds and do all the right things, I'm going to get into heaven. But the question remains, and listen to this, the question remains, don't all good people go to heaven? Don't all good people go to heaven? Be careful before you answer that. Be careful. Because, first off, that statement itself is already wrong in accordance to the Bible. Because there is no one who is good. No one. Here's what Jesus said in accordance to Luke chapter 18, verse 19. And folks, that is the Word of God. That's not me saying it. But look what it said. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, folks, already you can see right off the bat, if you are a follower of Christ and you know the Word of God, you already see that this passage alone already tells us that no one is good. No one. And I just told you, many people think, well, don't all good people go to heaven? Well, there's only one good person I know that went to heaven. That's Christ himself. The rest of us is not good. There's no one not good, according to the Scriptures. That's what the Scripture says right there. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all missed the mark. We're all sinners. All of us is condemned. All of us is sin. All of us is separated from God. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but you're going to understand why I'm telling you this, because, again, there's one person that only brings and bridges that gap for us to be in reconciliation with God. Now, second of all, and like I said, that statement, don't all good people go to heaven, is already wrong according to the Bible. But second of all, it presupposes a number of points. The first point is this. There is usually an assumption that God exists and that he is all-loving. We heard that. God's an all-loving God. Second, there is an assumption that although some bad people may need punishment, most people are generally good and as such are entitled to heaven. Well, yes, there is some folks out there that thinks that. And third, there is the view that entrance into heaven is one of the basics of merit. Many people think you can get to heaven by basics of merit, meaning good works, rather than God's grace. We know a lot of people who call all these what I call works-based salvation. They think, by me doing good works, I'm earning my way to heaven. Fourth, related to the question about heaven, is implicit suggestion that hell, if it exists at all is really for a marginal few who are responsible for particularly evil acts. Some have that conception of thinking, hell, if it exists, it's only for those few. Like I tell you, this is going to be a hard message for those who's listening and may not agree with it, but I'm sorry, folks, but that's the truth. You see, the other case for many who likes to argue with you, and many people do, they like to argue with you that all good people go to heaven regardless. Then make the case that, hey, if God is a loving God, then he will not turn away good and sincere individuals. Instead, their reason is obvious, that he would allow them into heaven because they are good people. I wish that was true. I wish it was true. But it's not. It's not. You may be surprised, you may be shocked, but it's not true. So, why do so many say such things as when a person passes away, not knowing Christ, that they get into heaven? Why do so many people say such things about those who do not know Jesus Christ? When they pass away, they get into heaven. Simple. It boils down to a well-known misconception that God is a loving God and all gets into heaven. If that were the case, my friends, if that were the case, and if it were true, then Jesus did not need to die. Jesus did not need to go to the cross. Jesus did not need to lay down his life. He could have healed bodies. He could have taught morality without forgiving sin. Instead, he went willingly to the cross, forgiving sinners the whole time. If this were the case and true, then why would Jesus make this statement in the reading passage we are about to read? Folks, if this were the case and true, then why did Jesus himself, Jesus is God, we all know that, why did he make the statement that we're about to read in our reading passage? I got to get some water, I feel a dry throat. But here's Jesus himself, God, sent down here to give us the word. This is what he said. Look at John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. And look what it says. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let me repeat it and read it again. You can read it yourself. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, and as this message is being presented, and I hope those who are here, they know this is already true, and I'm preaching to the choir, and that's good. But the listeners who's going to listen to this lesson, this message, there are many out there who disagree with many teachings in the Word. There are many out there who don't agree that Jesus is the only way. But Father, when they make those kind of statements, they're essentially telling you, Father, I don't agree with you. There are other ways that we can get up there to you. You just made that statement for the heck of it. That's what many think. Many thinks there are other options. Many thinks there are other ways. Many thinks they can do by works-based salvation. Many think they can do good deeds. But not according to your word. Your word says different. But yet there's so many out there that get upset about this. And even non-believers, they get mad about this because they love to throw that in your face. So, God, if you're a loving God, then you're going to allow anybody into heaven. But sadly, again, according to your word, we know this is fact. It's not true. And this is why, again, I'm led to preach this message, because there's some within my family, and I see them all the time when family members die without knowing your son. And they make statements, well, he done earned his wings. She done earned his wings. Oh, they're resting. They're living and running with Jesus. Well, again, I wish I could tell them otherwise. I would love to say, well, no, but sorry, because according to the word of God, that's not so. Why are you thinking that? Their lives never demonstrated anything of the Holy Spirit. So again, those who's listening to this message, I implore you, if you do not know Jesus, if you do not fully understand the word, open your heart up to him and allow him to speak to you in your life. Allow the truth to be revealed. Allow your eyes to be open. Allow your ears to be open. Accept the truth for what it is, truth from God. And Father, I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. Be with them, guard them, put a protective hedge around them. Let them know that you love them very much. And Father, we want to honor you with all of our hearts, all of our minds. We love you with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our soul. And in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Well, folks, like I said, a topic many ministers I find out there do not preach on. Many don't like to say this. Many don't like to talk about this. But facts is facts. The word of God is the word of God. And see, the gospel tells us that the only way we get to heaven is through Jesus, as we just read in this statement right here, this passage. That is the only way we get to heaven. There is no other way. I know Oprah Winfrey, she has something called 50 Ways to Heaven. The Dalai Lama, he has many ways to heaven. Sing Sing, Buddha, and everyone else, they claim they got many ways to heaven. Islamic teachers claim, well, if you kill the infidels, they get 72 virgins when they go to heaven. Well, folks, again, that's all false. That's not true. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That's it. Through his blood. His blood is the one that paid for your sins. But yet, many are confident that no one is going to hell. There are preachers out there now that I have read and seen for myself said, you know what, I don't preach on hell because hell does not exist. And I think in my mind, how dare you? If you are a minister, a man called of God, how can you not claim hell does not exist when Jesus talked about hell? In fact, in the New Testament alone, he mentioned it 52 times. Well, Jesus said 52 times, hell is real. But yet you want to preach that it's not? Wow. But in fact, studies have shown that most people today think they are going to heaven when they die. Many so-called Christians are disassimilating a lie. That's what they're doing. That good people will go to heaven. Why isn't it good enough to be good? Why isn't it good enough to be good? Well, just as I read a little while ago in the introduction of this message, again, I already told you, no one is good. The Bible clearly says that, according to Luke chapter 18, verse 19, again, which says, and Jesus said to them, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So that blows that thing all out the water. No one's good. None of us. Not even us here. I'm not even good enough. The only way I can get there is through Jesus Christ and him. By his blood, by what he did for me on the cross. That is the only way. I can't get there no other way. You can't get there no other way. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. Quit fooling yourself. See, we need to understand one thing, friends. Heaven is the dwelling place of God and the kingdom of perfection, reconciliation between God and his fallen creation. Here, we know this is a fact. There will be no more pain, no more sufferings, no more tears. We will complete the very love works that we are meant to do here on earth. Love God wholly and love our neighbors as ourselves. 2 Peter 3:13 even says, according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth in which the righteous dwells. You and I, who know Jesus Christ, that's what we're doing. We're waiting. We have the hope. We're waiting on the blessed hope. But sadly, those without Jesus Christ are in hell. Plain and simple. Those without Jesus Christ are in hell. Eternal separation from God. Why do I say this? According to the Word of God, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says this. And look at it carefully. And this is not jumbo. But Revelation 21, 8 says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in a lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Wow. Also, in this fiery furnace, folks, and y'all seen this in the passages in the New Testament, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, as mentioned even in Matthew chapter 13, 50. Horrible. Horrible. And added to this, you can add on to this. This is all strictly coming from the Bible, folks. Those without Jesus Christ are sent there because their names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life as per what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, which says this. And if anyone's name was not found written in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And these are people who has never received or even rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior because of what the Word of God says. Anyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be sent there. So all those who don't know Jesus and they make these blanket statements when they die, say, well, my daddy done earned his wings, or he is running with the angels, or he's wrapped up in God's arms. What I'm telling you right now, you're only fooling themselves, because Jesus Christ again said, I am the only way to the Father. So if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, if you never ask him for forgiveness of your sin, then forget about it, because again, I hate to tell you, the Bible says it very clear, you are in hell because your name was never written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And even people who believe Jesus was good, and those who are themselves nice people, will spend eternity into hell because, again, they do not believe in him for their salvation. Again, I told you this is a hard message. Many preachers today will not preach this. Many don't want to scare people like this. Folks, with the world turning upside down the way it is right now, this message needs to be heard. This message needs to be preached. People out there need to wake up and realize without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. You're not going to heaven. And when we tell people that God gave his son so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life, and we're talking about Christ who died on the cross and who was resurrected before ascending to heaven, he is the one with God and the Holy Spirit. Now, y'all may have heard this quote by C.S. Lewis. I'm pretty sure many of you know who he is. But I like this, how this man says this. He's often quoted saying this, and he's talking about Jesus. He said, either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. So C.S. Lewis is basically saying Jesus is the Son of God, or else he is nothing but a madman. Which one do you want to believe? Which chance do you want to take? To believe in him that he is the only begotten Son of God, or he's a madman, and once you're dead, you never go nowhere. I tell you one thing, me personally, I'd rather take a chance in believing in Jesus Christ, knowing there is eternity to spend forever in, than rather knowing and finding out after the fact that hell is real, and there's nothing I can do to change that. Or, if it doesn't exist, then once you're dead, you're dead. That's it. Now, we cannot intelligently argue that Jesus was merely good and that we can be good by following his lessons, thereby entering the gates of heaven without honoring and glorifying him as our Lord. When we read the story of the older son in the Christ parable of the prodigal son, he wanted exactly that. That's what the dude wanted. He said, and listen to this, he said all these years, and he's talking to his father after the son came back home. He said, after all these years, I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And yet you never gave me even a young goat so I can celebrate with my friends. Folks, what that said right there, that the older son did not love the father. He only loved himself. Wow. Do you understand what I'm saying here, friends? That no one is righteous, as written in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And look what it says. No one's righteous. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. It may shock you here tonight. None of us here tonight is righteous. None of us. Not on our own, we're not. We're only made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ for what he did for us on the cross. That is the only way. You see, we are covered by the blood, as the song played. We've been washed clean by the blood. We are now free from sin. Yet we are sinners saved by grace. But when God looks at you and I, those of you who have truly accepted Jesus Christ, he sees you as free, not guilty. But if you think that you're righteous without Christ, and I'm going to tell you right now, according to scriptures, it says none is righteous. No, not one. None. You want to take even a better look at this? Look what Isaiah says, chapter 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you understand again what I am trying to say? Listeners, online listeners, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Hang in there. Don't let your feelings get the best of you. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Don't click this thing off because don't say I had enough. I don't want to listen no more because there are all those ways to heaven. Even though my mommy and daddy and my brother and sisters, they're good people. They're gone, but I don't care what you're saying because God is a loving God. Then you need to keep listening because, again, that is misconception. You've been taught wrong. You don't understand scriptures. What I'm trying to tell you, we can never be good enough to make up for our badness, our wickedness. We can't be. We can't. When we expect heaven just as our dessert, when we expect that heaven's just going to be given to us like it's dessert, like it's a piece of cake, folks, we are actually bypassing the justice of God, which could condemn the older son's slavish obedience as much as the younger son, depravity. Or some would probably pronounce it depravity, but it's called depravity, meaning wickedness, corruption. You see, folks, you got to understand this. Forgiveness is a gift that you and I do not deserve. Forgiveness is a gift that you and I do not deserve. Period. We have utterly rebelled against our Creator. We are deeply affected by sin. Every part of us has been corrupted. We, you and I, are incapable of earning our way into heaven. This is why we need Jesus to get into heaven. Now, many will argue that God is frequently defined by Christians and non-Christians alike. Many will argue with you on this. Well, God's an all-loving God. I don't agree with that. Well, they can say that all they want, but the fact is, God is also a God of justice. God is a God of judge. He has to judge us. And if you don't know Christ, you are already guilty. I should have added that, but John 3:18 says so. You're already condemned if you don't know Jesus Christ. So if God will see you and if you was to die without Christ, well, guess what? You're guilty, condemned, go to hell. It's an automatic go to hell card, if you want to call it that. God didn't send you there. You sent yourself there. But they got many people out there who would argue against you, saying, hey, you know, it's obvious that God's a good, loving God, that he's going to let all good people come in. He will allow them into heaven. Doesn't God allow all good people into heaven instead of hell? Right? Does he? Sorry, folks. You know, if I had a little buzzer, I'd go, sorry, no. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. No ifs, no buts. Such an exclusive statement may confuse, surprise, or even offend, but it's true nonetheless. It's true. The Bible teaches us there is no other way to salvation than through Jesus Christ. This again is why Jesus himself even said this again in John 14:6. This is why Jesus said this. Jesus just wouldn't say that for the heck of it. Why? Why would Jesus lie to us? So if Jesus lied to us by making this statement, then the whole Bible's a lie. Right? Come on. If this was a lie, then everything that we know in accordance to the Word of God is a lie. God does not lie. Jesus does not lie. Jesus stated truth. Facts. He said it again. I am. When he spoke of that I am, that means God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, folks, you can think all you want to think. You can get mad at me all you want to get mad. You can unclick this thing. You can go run to someone else, or you can go run to your pastor. Well, I heard some dude giving a sermon on the internet. He said, well, Jesus is the only way to heaven. But yet, you know, I heard, you know, we can get there by other ways, or we can get there by good deeds, or we can get there being a nice person. I'm not accountable for my sin. Again, that's wrong. You see, folks, Jesus, listen to what Jesus is. He is not a way. Folks, Jesus is not a way, as in one of many I mentioned earlier. He is the way. I ain't saying the, I am saying the. He is the way, as in the one and only. No one, regardless of reputation, achievements, special knowledge, or personal holiness, can come to God, the Father, except through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to heaven for several reasons, and here they are. Jesus was chosen by God to be the Savior. Jesus is the only one to have come down from heaven and to return back to heaven. Tell me somebody else that did that. I challenge you to show me that. Show me the proof in the Bible someone else did. Jesus is the only person to have lived a perfect human life. Jesus is the only one to live a perfect human life. Tell me who else did that. He is the only sacrifice for all sins. Tell me who else can do that. He alone fulfilled the law and the prophets. Tell me someone else who did that. He is the only man to have conquered death forever. He rose out of the grave and was witnessed by 500 people before he even ascended to heaven. His own disciples watched him go. Tell me who else has proof that they done that. He is the only mediator between God and man. He is the only man who God has exalted to the highest places. You see, folks? You see where I'm going? He is the only one and the only way, and without him we are lost, we are doomed and damned to go to hell if we do not repent and ask him into our lives. And many times over in the Word of God, Jesus spoke of himself as the only way to heaven in several places besides John 14:6. And some of you might want to argue with me, Jimmy, that's the only place I know of where he has said that. No, it's not. No, it's not. If you want to accept the truth, you will know the truth and you will see the truth, because again, he presented himself as an object of faith in. He said his words are a life in John 6:63, which says this. John 6:63, and this is Jesus himself saying this. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I spoken to you are spirit and life. He also promised, in accordance to John 3:15. Look what he says there. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He is also the gate of the sheep. He is the bread of life. And I'm speaking of the seven I ams. He is the resurrection. Folks, do you see this? Do you understand this? Do you hear this? No one else can rightly claim these titles. No one else. No one. Nobody can claim these titles. What's our problem? What is our problem? Why do we don't want to accept this? Well, our problem is, and it's clear. Our problem is, and it's clear. Humankind is desperately wicked. And we hadn't taken scriptures seriously enough. Humankind is wicked, and we're not taking scriptures seriously enough. We are lost. We are sinners. And without Jesus, we are going to hell. We are God's enemies, the evil against which he defends his people until we become his sons and daughters by adoption. That's unchanging. Reliable love and power demands justice for his sake and not ours. Without a glorious and holy God who demands justification of sin, what hope would we have against sins committed against us or against bad desires of our own flesh? And yes, we blame Satan a lot. We blame him for many things. We blame it on chemical imbalances. We blame it on brain injuries. We blame it on upbringing. But folks, bottom line, bottom dollar, the problem is sin. The problem is sin. Quit blaming all other things. Sin is the issue. Sin must be addressed. Jesus is the only one that can cure that problem. And as far as God is concerned, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in accordance to Romans 3:23. The word says it right there, all of us. We all have fallen short. We all have sinned. We all fallen short of the glory of God. You see, we can't do it. We need Christ. We need Jesus. We are all evil. The potential for salvation, friends, is a free gift extended to everyone. I mean everyone. Jesus, in fact, died for all, not for a select few. Now, they got some out there that preach that predestination garbage, but I'm sorry, but again, that's not true. Jesus died for all, but only a few will accept him. But some says, well, Jimmy, again, Jesus is the one that chooses us. No, Jesus didn't choose us. Jesus died for us. Jesus paved the way for us. He did that to give us a way out. We need to recognize that we are ungodly people and we need him. And we need to ask him to come in all lives. We need to make that decision to repent and say, okay, Jesus, yeah, I'm yours. Now, God does know who is and who is not his. God knows everything. He knows who's not going to accept Jesus, and he knows who he is. So that's why at that particular time, the Holy Spirit deals with you and lets you know, hey, now is the time for your salvation. Quit playing the games. You've been dodging me all this time. Now the time is real. You got a choice to make. You either accept it or reject it. Because, folks, God did not say all who are evil will go to hell. God never said that. John 3:15 clearly says that. Lisa, could you post that for me real quick? Because I didn't write that. But see, I wanted to illustrate why God is saying that all who are evil will go to hell. Because that's not the fact. Because it says, again, according to John 3:15. Okay, I don't know. She must have fell off or something. Okay, well, she must be dealing with something at the door. But see, folks, God is not the one, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life, folks. You see, God gave up his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, which is John 3:16. But that right there is beautiful. So God is not saying all who are evil will go to hell because, again, he knows who's going to accept Jesus. Or he's not saying, oh, I'm going to let the nice people into heaven. Come on. Yeah, you were nice. You walked the dog across the street. You helped the old lady's grocery into the car. You bought your neighbor some food. You gave some money to church. You kind of went cut the church grass a little bit. You were nice to the pastor. You took him out to eat. You helped some kids. Okay, you were nice. Come on in. And again, it goes right on back. If that were the case, then why did Jesus have to be brutally tortured, maimed to the point of almost being put to death before he was even put to death on the cross? Why? Why was that necessary? Because again, if all these good deeds and good works and works-based salvation was good enough to get into heaven and being a good person and all that stuff, then Jesus did not need to die. Period. He would still be alive with us today. It is said, and I heard this quote a lot, it says, all who believe in Jesus will have eternal life with him. Well, the scriptures right there says it, but a lot of people take that for granted. Oh, I know Jesus. I know him. Yeah, I know God. Hey, I know the president too, but does the president help me get to heaven? No. You can know Jesus, but do you really know Jesus? If you never had a personal relationship with him, you can know him all till the cows come home. That's not going to help you. Human fallenness makes the gospel powerful. Human failures makes the gospel powerful. We can only appreciate the extent of the work of Christ when we, you and I, understand the evil and the corruption we and the world truly contains. When you start to understand that, then you appreciate who Jesus really is. So with that, and in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Because this is a lot to chew on, but this is fact. I know it's a hard message. Those of you, I hope that you're still sticking it out and you have not clicked stop or exit. And I hope that you understand, if you think that you can get to heaven by any other way, then change your mind before it's too late for you. But in closing, and I got a hard word to pronounce because I still have a problem pronouncing this word, but God offer a way of reconciliation. God offer a way for us to be reconciled to Him. We were separated. You know, I should have grabbed a piece of paper to use an example, but yeah, here we go. See, God's on this side, God and us on this side. But see, we were separated. We were torn apart because of sin. But God offered a way of reconciliation, that's through the cross, through Jesus Christ, the only way. God's way of reconciliation, which is not a scale against which to judge one's relative goodness. That's not a way to judge one's goodness. No one is good or worthy. True belief in Christ changes hearts, folks. True belief in Christ changes hearts and motivates good behavior. But at one's death, God is only going to ask you one question. He's going to ask you one question the moment you breathe your last. And this is what He's going to ask you. Did you believe in My Son for salvation? Did you believe in Him? The answer to that question determines where a person spends eternity. Let me repeat that. When God asks you that question, the answer to that question determines where you spend eternity. Hell or heaven? Or heaven and hell. Sorry. Only two places you're going. Paul makes it very clear. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that's referring to us who are true blue believers. So that also applies to people who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, absent from the body and present in hell. Because if you don't know the Lord, you're not going to heaven. You're going straight downtown. The price for sin, friends, had to be paid. And only sinless, untainted blood was good enough for us. Only that. Christ. According to Jesus again, no one is good. And anyone who honestly reflects upon his or her life and sincerely probes the heart knows that this is true. If you're honest with yourself, if you're honest with your heart, and do like what I did, I had a life-changing experience within the last 2 years, when I looked at myself like in a mirror, and I realized, oh Lord, I've been messing up. I've not been right. It's time to get it right. It's time to stop all the nonsense. It's time to present Jesus. But if you start searching your heart, and you be true to it, and find out, am I 100%? If not, you better get it right. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says this. I love this passage. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of His grace. Friends, look, eternal life in heaven is made possible only through Jesus Christ. Jesus even Himself prayed this prayer in accordance to John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus prayed this in the garden. This is a fact. This is His word. Look what He says. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Whoa! Ring, 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 ring. Look what it says, folks, right there. Here's Jesus Himself praying the prayer in the garden saying, hey, You are the only true God and Jesus Christ in whom You have sent. Hello? To receive God's gift of free salvation, we must look to Jesus and Jesus alone, nothing else. Your salvation is based on what he did at the cross, in Christ alone. We must trust in Jesus' death on the cross as our payment for sin, and in his resurrection, this righteousness from God comes only through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believes. Even at one point in Jesus' ministry, y'all should know this passage very well. Even at one point in Jesus' ministry, many of the crowds were turning their backs on him. And they were leaving in hopes of finding another Savior, because Jesus was preaching hard truths. Jesus was preaching a mean sermons. Jesus was convicting a lot of men. Well, I don't like this man's preaching. He's telling me, you know, I'm unholy. Hey, I'm going to find somebody else so I can get to heaven. But look what Jesus did. And he turned to the 12 in accordance to John chapter 6, verse 67 through 69. Look what he said. See, when everybody else didn't like Jesus' teachings, they left. Oh, I'm going to find me a Savior elsewhere. You telling me the only way to heaven's through you? You're nuts. So they left. So when Jesus saw them leaving and left, he turned to the 12 and he said to the 12, I would probably be doing the same thing at that time. You know, if you have hundreds and hundreds of people and say, man, look, you are nuts. Your teaching's too hard. I can't accept that. I'm going to find something else. Well, then go. Who cares? More power to you, brother. But then he turns to his 12. Do you want to go away as well? But look what Simon Peter answered him. Lord, to whom shall we go? Peter recognized the fact he is the only one. You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. His eyes was open. His heart was open. He knew Jesus was the only way to heaven. I think we can relate to this. Many of us may share Peter's faith that eternal life resides only in Jesus Christ. I think we can relate to that. He had faith. He had faith in Christ. We have faith. We have faith in Christ. The only way to heaven is in Christ. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Without him, friends, all will be lost and all will end up in a place of torments called hell. Now, in case you do not realize this, hell is horrible. Hell is bad. Hell is just a temporary holding place for you to suffer before you are called before the Almighty God and judged according to your deeds, and the end result is cast into the lake of fire, which you can continue to suffer. How horrible is that? You're already in a bad place. You get thrown in a better place because of your actions. And don't ever stand there and don't ever criticize me and challenge me and say, well, God is the one sending people to hell. No, God is not sending nobody to hell. You sent yourself to hell. You rejected Jesus Christ. You didn't want to accept it. Don't blame God for your fault, for your ignorance. Don't. God wants everybody to come to heaven. Many do not accept it. But let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you facts. There are people right now in hell who are believers. There are many people in hell right now who are believers. But it's too late. They had a chance. They blew it. Now you need to ask yourself this question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus? Have you made a decision for Christ because of what you heard in this message? Have you made a decision to follow Christ because of what you have heard in this message? I was hoping more would be here tonight because they needed to hear it. Sadly, they may not even listen to the recording. If not, then what's stopping you right now from accepting Jesus? What's stopping you? Will you take the next step now? Will you? Will you trust Him to be your Lord and Savior? Put your life into His hands right now. Do what He asks you to do. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. He took the roughness. He's given us the easy way. He asked you only one thing. He only asked you one thing. Believe in me. Believe in me. He asked you to honestly confess your sins to Him and to receive complete forgiveness. With a sincere heart, ask Jesus into your life. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. He will. He's not going to turn you away. He has a special gift that He wants to give you. The gift is eternal life. Up to you to accept what He has to offer. Eternal life in heaven with God. Or eternal life in hell. Which will it be?